The basis for our sermon text is toward the end of that struggle between not Jacob and that angelic man, but between this Canaanite woman and Jesus, the God-man. Jesus answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." The Canaanite woman said, "Yes, Lord, for even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." This is God's word. Last week we heard an amazing exchange between Jesus and the devil, who stood opposed to one another. Today we hear an amazing exchange between Jesus and a Canaanite woman. They might as well have been opposed to each other, with Jesus being a Jew and this woman a hated Canaanite. At first, the woman does all the talking, or we should rather say, crying. Jesus answers her, not a word. The disciples enter the exchange and beg her cause. Before hearing how Jesus answered them, we need to note that Jesus had withdrawn from Jewish territory where he had been due to the threat that the Jewish religious leader posed to him in their unbelief. And he purposely traveled to Tyre and Sidon, the Canaanite territory, which was a religious wilderness. Jesus answered his disciples with the persistent woman in earshot, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus calls Israel lost sheep, a term that interestingly meshes very well with the cry of the Canaanite woman earlier when she called Jesus Lord, Son of David, the one-time shepherd of sheep and king of Israel. The children of Israel had been commanded by God to exterminate. Did you hear that word? We don't hear it very often. Exterminate the Canaanite people who dwelt in the land that God had sworn to Abraham and to his offspring. There are at least 36 verses found in various places of the Old Testament, beginning already with the time of Noah, well before Abraham, in which God gives this stern command over and against Canaan, which was Noah's grandson, and all of Canaan's descendants. Once brought into the promised land, by the way, sometimes called the land of Canaan, once brought into the promised land, the children of Israel did not do as the Lord commanded. There are at least 61 verses noting the horrible consequences that came to God's people when they did not rid themselves of the false gods and the baneful life of the Canaanites. It had gotten so bad that in the time of Ezra, 111 illegal marriages among the children of Israel, where a Jewish man married a Canaanite woman and her religion gains the upper hand, these marriages had to be dissolved through divorce because the men had married foreign women. By the way, I just want to make sure to point out in the New Testament, Paul teaches us very clearly that a believing Christian spouse should not divorce an unbelieving pagan spouse, let alone exterminate whole pagan peoples. The better way of wisdom and attendant joy, though, we need to be wise about this, is to seek to marry a fellow believer, indeed a fellow Lutheran. You share the same faith. You need to do that on the front end, in the first place, so that then raising your children in such a house and in their baptism, they might grow to lead a God-pleasing life. So do not become unequally yoked with someone who does not share our common faith in the triune God, who cannot confess what we just confessed from the Apostles' Creed and its meanings in the Small Catechism. But here's this woman, crying out after Jesus, following him along the road. In fact, Mark says he went into a house and she followed him in there too. Even though Jesus had given her absolutely no reason to do so, no reason to keep following, no reason to keep crying out. In fact, he seemed to be quite opposed to her people and to her. But Matthew, an eyewitness that day, also traveling along the road and in the house, records that this woman came right up to him and knelt down saying, "Lord, help me." She went through all this trouble, not for herself, but for her daughter. How often are our prayers about ourselves? We don't take the trouble for someone else and their needs. How often do we give up after the first try, maybe the second try, falling silent in a heap when God doesn't hear our prayer or answer our prayer right when we want Him to and how we want Him to? How often are we too busy to pray, in fact? We have such busy lives, we don't have time for this, as if there were more important things. But the words of this woman, her prayer, are words we could use. These words of faith are short, and they are good, and they are right, and they are salutary. Lord, help me. Lord, Son of David, have mercy. Lord, remember not the sins of my youth or my rebellious ways. Remember not the ungodliness of my people. Lord, remember me according to your steadfast love, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. But then came the joyful exchange. Jesus speaks with the woman. It is most certainly true. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of that man. It is not right to take the children's bread, by which he means the salvation for the children of Israel, and throw it to the dogs, by which he means her, the Canaanites. This word seems like a rebuff, but to this woman and to everyone with faith, even today, this is an invitation. God wants to be prevailed upon and prevailed over. He wants to be captured in His word, which means we first have to listen to His word. Take it to heart. This word is a little crumb, and she has been satisfied with crumbs for many years. In the midst of all those verses, how many were they? 90 plus? Talking about exterminating the Canaanites. There is one little verse that this woman held on to. It's when God speaks to Abraham after he offered to sacrifice his son Isaac. In your seed, your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And there's another little crumb. She heard of this man Jesus, who healed people, and who taught and thereby brought the kingdom of God. She is before him now in this moment, and she follows his word very closely. She is being taught, and she is believing wholeheartedly. She littles herself and takes the place of the dogs in the house. Whatever place God wants to give her, she's more than happy with, as long as she's with him. She does not belittle herself. No. She littles herself in order to be part of the exchange with Jesus. We're Gentiles too, by the way. We have no claim on God. We too live among a people of unclean lips and unclean lives and unclean religion. We deserve nothing from God but His wrath and displeasure and silence. We are not worthy of the things for which we ask, nor have we deserved them. But we ask that God would still, nevertheless, open wide His hand and give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. In the collect that we prayed earlier, we littled ourselves. Oh God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. having littled herself, the woman magnified God by calling Jesus Lord and Son of David, and actually Lord two more times. But even more important than that, she magnified God's word. I think a lot of Christians are quite pleased with themselves when they magnify and praise God. But I think among Lutherans, it tends to go more like this. We end up praising God's word and praising the means of grace, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And that's what this woman does here. She praises the little verse she had from Genesis 22 and the few things she had heard about Jesus and even the difficult words he had spoken to her that moment when she was kneeling down before him. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she sees in that the invitation. And so she doesn't think she has crumbs. She has a feast. During this Lenten season, let us properly little ourselves before God and magnify Him and especially His Word. He has not given us crumbs. He has rather plainly promised His, following His death and resurrection, listen to these words. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. He has not given us crumbs, but has given us the whole loaf. He has given us His own body to eat in His last will and testament. He has given us His own blood to drink as our very inheritance and our life. In that sacrament, we receive the fullness of God's mercy, grace, and steadfast love in words that are plain and clear, directed into our ears. Here we receive the benefits of the Son of God's mighty power that defends us from all adversities to the body and from all evil thoughts that assault and hurt the soul. He uses His almighty power to come and serve us, so that in the forgiveness of sins and in the life and salvation that flows from that gift, these things coming from the crucified Christ, He is the life of all the living. The man or woman who is righteous by faith shall live. In these 40 days and all our lives, we live under the Son of God and His kingdom, and we serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as He is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Amen.